Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here through your Holy Spirit. And we praise you and thank you today for the anointing of God to be in this studio on these words to go out throughout the world declaring that Jesus is Lord and that and the universe is in good hands. We thank you for it today. In that name we pray and thank you. Amen. Would you join me today in welcoming Professor Greg Stevens to this broadcast again?
Thank you very much.
Praise God. And to welcome this audience today, welcome yourselves. Would you do that, please? I woke up early this morning and I was meditating on these things. And I want to explain to you why the Lord has directed us to have Greg Stevens on this broadcast. As you know, this ministry is all about covenant. Years ago, a lot of years ago, the Lord pointed out to me the gross ignorance of the body of Christ concerning covenant. Part of the reason for that is the King James translation of the Bible because it used the word testament, which is covenant. In my opinion, the translators were attempting to get across that this is the will and testament of God. But then over many, 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 many years, it's just lost. So then the other translation, and the King James uses the word covenant over and over and over again, but Old Covenant and New Covenant, or New Testament, really set us place where people just didn't pay attention to it. But it is extremely important. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter, please. Chapter 1. We'll read down through the first four verses. Simon Peter, a servant, actually, the word there is slave, and other translations translate it that way. Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now, right there is an amazing statement. Like precious faith. This apostle calls faith precious because he knows where he got it. From Jesus. Jesus taught him faith. Praise God.
Not just with words.
No, he demonstrated it.
Demonstrated.
Yes, he demonstrated it. And the classic teaching on faith in Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 11, the Apostle Peter called John Mark his son. So most Bible scholars agree that he taught that and he gave that to Mark. That's the reason in the book of Mark, it's short and it's concise and it is right on the money. It's the clearest teaching on the faith of God. Now, let's go ahead. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace will not come just because you ask and beg for it. It's going to take some knowledge of the Word in order to gain that. According to something, as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That word there is excellence. Whereby are given unto us exceeding... I'm going to do something here. If you have room in your Bible, you could do this. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious covenant promises.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's the reason they are exceeding great and precious. They're in blood. The blood of Jesus. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or human desires. Now then, what is and where do we find in the Word the divine nature? Now, we know from the teachings of John that God is love. But so His divine nature is wrapped around that. Now, that's where the professor comes in.
Amen. When I started studying, I call it the first covenant and the second covenant.
Yes.
Or the first testament. I've trained myself to say that. I didn't start out to learn covenant. I started out to learn Jesus. But He is the sacrificial lamb of the covenant.
Yes, He is.
And so once I began to study Him, all of a sudden I was drawn to the covenants. See, we were created in His image. And when we were created, God said on day six that it was very, very good. He was so much created in the image of God that God even brings animals by Him to see what He'll do with them, to see what He'll call them. And He spoke them into existence, what they were. So we were so much, we were clothed in His glory, we were so much like Him. And then we were a mirror reflection of Him.
Yes, that's right.
It's like having two little mirrors here and you break one of them. We broke the mirror, or Adam broke the mirror. And because of that, everything became a broken system. Now, you can see yourself, James will talk about this, about the mirror of the Word. If I'm broken, I can still see my reflection in a broken mirror, but it's not the same. And so the world...
It's distorted.
It's distorted. The world, you've been to those fun houses where they have the... which aren't real fun. I never could get out of them. I'd have to get some kid to help me get out of that thing. But those mirrors make you look different because the mirror's distorted. And that's what's happened. The world has not seen the image of Him because we haven't known Him to that level. And that's been my goal, is to know Him at that level so I can walk in that covenant promise and reflect the image. Jesus Christ is the only one that came and perfectly reflected the image of the Father. So asking someone...
I want to say something. This just jumped in my spirit. And this needs to be said more. Jesus was not and is not a white man.
No.
Now, to image Him like that is unscriptural. He's a bronze-colored Middle Eastern Jew.
That's right.
He's neither white nor black.
He's Galilean.
He's Galilean.
Well, from Judah, actually.
Yes.
The southern. So when He came, He was the express image of the Father. Well, to ask somebody to have faith, here it goes to what you saw. Because they've had a distorted image, a broken mirror, they become weak and anemic, a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's the vision you saw.
Yes.
When you saw the body of Christ. And because we've taught a weakened system, we've not taught Him correctly. So to ask somebody to have knowledge of the Father or have faith in the Father or to trust Him is futile if we've never represented His character. Faith comes for salvation by knowing a little bit about His character, that He's good.
Yes.
And He wants to bless. So Jesus perfectly reflected the Father's heart, and that's exactly what He has called us to do. And so He was taught something. What Peter's teaching here, what John will teach, what they saw modeled by Him, is something they learned as little Jewish boys, that Jesus learned as a little Jewish boy, that I grew up in the church and was never taught. And it goes back to Exodus, the 13 attributes of God, where God will reveal Himself to Moses. They're taught it. They learn the 13 attributes of God. They say a prayer concerning that every year on the Day of Atonement. And so He learned it from its childhood, and Paul will get into it when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit and all these things about a better covenant that we have, because we've been given that. We just don't know how to use it as a tool. we've already got it in our spirit. This is something they were striving for. So God brings them up. Let's, if we can, I'll set up the history of it. God brings them up out of Egypt to the mountain of God where he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And if you look at the burning bush account, Moses sees a bush that's on fire. It's an acacia bush, which is a thorn bush, which represents sin. Thorns didn't come till after the fall. So a sin bush, thorn bush, is, when I was a kid, we used to go hunting and chasing rabbits and all, and you could get in a briar bush. We had the wait a minute vine. You know, my dad said, how long are you going to be in there? I got a wait a minute vine here. And then we had the wait a second vine, you know, just the thorn bush. So he sees a thorn bush in the desert on fire. Fire
is judgment. Was when you stumped one of those things and stuck it through the front end of your tennis shoe and it got into your big toe.
Yeah, and grabbing your legs and everything else. Yeah, I know. My brother had a knack for finding the wait-a-minute vine because we'd have to just go in and cut him out of there most of the time. But the thing is he sees this bush he's familiar with, which represents sin. It's a thorn bush on fire, which is judgment. So sin is being judged, but it's not being consumed. And he says, I got to turn to see what this is. And he leaves the path that he's on to go see this bush, and God speaks to him, and he says, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, your forefathers, begins to reveal himself and reveals his calling to him. There's a vast difference, Brother Copeland, in creating your own purpose and discovering his purpose for you.
Mm, that's good.
That's the moment that Moses found God's purpose for him. He had already tried to do his purpose when he'd killed the Egyptian. That's why he's out there. He was delivering an Israelite. That's what he's called to do. But he's doing it by the flesh. God's not going to use the sword to deliver him. I'm going to deliver him the way I want to deliver him, and it's going to be through you. And so those 40 years on the backside of the desert,
he begins. And he would change. He would change from El Shaddai to Jehovah.
Absolutely.
And show himself powerful.
Which is a redeemer word. Jehovah is a redeemer word. So in Exodus 19, he says this, let me read this to you. In verse 4, Exodus 19, you've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's what he told them to do. He didn't tell them to take them to the promised land. The first stop was to bring them to my presence. Bring him to me. And that's what he did. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant. What covenant are we talking about here? We're talking about the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what he had revealed to him. That's a covenant of faith.
Praise God.
And in Exodus 19, verse 4 to 5. Verse 5. If you will obey my voice and keep my covenant.
Exodus 19, verse 5. I got it.
If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. When he does that, they all respond with, we'll do that, not knowing what they're saying. They don't understand it, but there's that blessing and cursing mountain thing again, where they're acknowledging it. If you go on down to verse 8, it says, and all the people answered together and said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. At that moment, they accepted the covenant of Abraham. Brother Copeland, that's a faith covenant.
Yes, it is.
Covenant of Abraham is all by faith. Abraham was justified by faith. They knew the miracles, but here's the problem with the children of Israel. They didn't know him. They'd seen the miracles, but they didn't know him. And this is what, when we started today in 2 Peter, to know the knowledge of him, these precious promises, it's something about knowing him and knowing the 13 attributes of God that he's going to reveal. He gives the word to Moses, the people will see him and hear him, but they'll pull away from him. They get afraid of it. Moses then will go up the mountain. He'll begin to talk about it. Moses will become a mediator between the two, between God and the people, because they pull away from God because they heard the thundering of his voice. They were afraid. And at that moment, Moses will build an altar. And when he builds an altar, he will offer sacrifice on it. He'll take half the blood and put it on the altar. He'll take the other half of the blood and throw it on the people.
Yes.
At that moment, when they had already said, we will do it, that became a blood covenant. Now God's obligated with a blood covenant with those people because of what that happened. And he's going to hold them to it from that moment forward. In chapter 24, Moses will take 70 of the elders up the mountain with him for a covenant meal. This is all a pattern that will play out again in the New Testament. Jesus will send 70 disciples out. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And yes. Everything that he's doing is
fulfilling every bit of it.
To the letter,
yes.
To the period. So in Exodus 32, let me show you this. Let's go to Exodus 32. Because what happens is when Moses is up on the mountain and he's declaring all of the law to him, God will stop the meeting and say, wait, stop. The children of Israel are doing something really bad. Because he'd been up there 40 days. And so Exodus 32, in verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly, go out of the way which I commanded them, and have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Everybody that came out of Egypt with them were not Jewish. Some of the Egyptians saw the plagues and saw what happened and said, we're going with the blessing. We're going with you. And I think that a lot of that was these people's influence. They didn't have that blood covenant in them. And so those people will be destroyed. We know what happens. God's ready to start over at that moment and destroy them all, and Moses will do something. He will remind God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
He pulls covenant on him. No, Lord, let me remind you. So Moses invokes a blood covenant. God withdraws. Verse 15 of Exodus 32 says this, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables written on both their sides, on the one side and the other, were they written. The tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And verse 16, verse 19 says this, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mountain. Now, the tablets were given by God to Moses. God made those first tablets, not Moses. And in that whole thing, the 70 elders, they get a glimpse of the throne when they come up for that covenant meal. They get a glimpse of it, and they describe the throne, and they describe that his feet were setting on sapphire.
Yes.
So.
And King James said a sapphire pillar.
Yes.
His feet set on a sapphire pillar.
Right. So if you read the Chumash, which is a commentary, the Jewish rabbi's commentary, if you read and study history of this, those first two tablets of stone were pure sapphire.
Dear God.
So now I had the guys here make a replica. This would have been the actual size, Brother Copeland, is 18 by 18 by 9 thick. One, and there would have been five of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments, five of them would have been on each side. And then the other tablet would have had the other five. So Moses carried a pure sapphire tablet this size down the mountain. Now, I know in the movie you see this curved thing and this long, that's Hollywood, and that's the Dark Ages. But see, heaven is built four square.
Yes, it is.
It's as a replica of heaven. It was pure. It was sapphire. I can't even find a value on what a sapphire this large would be.
Who would know?
And you tell me that God's against prosperity when he wrote the
tablet. He'd have to deny himself to be against prosperity.
Well, that's what his feet are resting on.
Yes.
And so he brings these sapphire tablets down. They estimate it weighed approximately 150 pounds with the two of them. He's a strong guy. And Moses is carried down the mountain, and he breaks those. And God will tell him, now you're going to make your own stones. And I want you to carve them out. I want you to come back up here. so they didn't look like these. But see, that this is heaven. Jesus was that heavenly nature and came down and was broken. So see, I'm beginning to see the covenant connections and all the little connectors that happen in all those things. Those tablets were heavenly. And so now Moses will take tablets that he'll cut out himself, same measurements, take them back up to the mountain, and God will write on them himself. And what he writes on them is so beautiful, because the first five commandments identify our duties in relationship to the Lord. The very first thing he says, I am the Lord your God. He'll say, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is a very interesting thing. Why would he do that many times? I am Jehovah, Jehovah, El. I am the redemptive. I was a redeemer. The same. I was this way before you sinned. I'm this way after you sinned. Yeah. And I'm Almighty God.
Yes, amen.
The Creator. And Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, I am your God. You will have no other gods before me. You shall not take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. That was on one tablet. It was all our relationship to him. The other tablet had five sayings on it. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. It's all our relationships with one another. See, when I get knowledge of him, those first five, correct, I'll get all of these correct.
Yes.
Because they all hang on love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because God is love. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. All of those things are the things that he wrote with his own hand on sapphire tablets. I mean, the very thing from heaven. I just, when I think about it, Brother Copeland, I just shake my head. He's carrying a piece of heaven with him. But see, that's what's happened with us now. A piece of heaven has come in us.
Yes, that's right.
And we have the knowledge, and this is why we grow in knowledge. And so now what God will teach him, and I don't know, we're about out of time right here. I know what God will teach him and will tell him, this is a prayer. When he brings him back up the mountain, I'm going to teach you the 13 attributes about myself, and I'm going to say it. God will say a prayer for him and say, whenever you say this prayer, I'll hear and I'll be merciful. And you'll see over and over and over. Now, this is why Jesus will teach his disciples a prayer. And this is why we teach our disciples a prayer. You know, you've taught us to pray in the Holy Spirit, to pray the Word. And so in all of those things, those are all knowledge of him and enables us to not be weak and anemic.
Yes.
And enables us to grow. So the Word was made flesh. It was sinless, holy, conceived of God, broken at Calvary. But praise God, he didn't come out of there. Now he takes these mortal stones, this flesh, and he's engraved it on our hearts. And so all of this pattern is a covenant pattern of us walking in the knowledge of him. It's glorious.
It is glorious, isn't it?
It is absolutely glorious. Now, Peter being taught that as a young man, you go back to Peter, and he says, a servant in 2 Peter of Christ obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God.
Yes.
They didn't know God. For 400 years they had been in Egypt, they had known the gods of Egypt. This is why they made a golden calf. Because they got in fear, because Moses hadn't come back. And so they made that golden calf.
And Aaron,
he should have known better.
If I read this correctly, he said something like, well, we just put that gold in there and that calf just jumped out.
Right. He actually said, it's all the gold that the Egyptians gave us that we brought out. That's why we did it, because you blessed us. That's why.
Yeah, I blamed it on
He
God.
Blamed the golden calf is because you gave us a whole bunch of gold before we left.
Yeah. That didn't fly.
It did not fly. But he's one of the ones that went up the mountain and saw it.
Oh, my, 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 my. Let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. We're out of time, but glory to God. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for this. Praise God. And Brother Greg and I will be back in just a moment. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/TV notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
The fruits of the Spirit were born into you when you received Jesus Christ. The truth of God's word makes you free to rise above sorrow, chaos, irritation, or impulsiveness. Find out what's already on the inside of you and learn how to yield to it and live in it in the fruit of the Spirit, the foundation. This audio series by Gloria Copeland breaks down each fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and explains how to cultivate those qualities in you. As you believe what you hear and read in the Word of God and begin to act on it, as demonstrated in this series, you will see it manifest in your words, thoughts, and actions. You can renew your mind and change the world around you by embracing the nature of God that you were born into as a believer. Request your free copy of Fruit of the Spirit, The Foundation by Gloria Copeland, available as an MP3 disc or digital download. Become the victorious person God created you to be as you develop the solid foundation for your spirit. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
I want to thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Kenneth Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens reminding you that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.